Daniel chapter number 6, and I want you to go with me in verse number 10, and I'll give you a thought and say a few things about it, and then you can go home and get your wings together and watch the Super Bowl. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and what?
Prayed.
And gave thanks before his God. Notice the last phrase. As he did aforetime. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you, Lord, that even though there's a big game going on today that many people will be watching, nothing bigger is going on in town than what's going on right now. And oh God, may we not miss what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for the music. Now bless the message in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. For weeks, we've been dealing with the subject of this clash between culture on one hand and Christianity on the other. They're never moving in concert. They're never in sync. They're never going the same direction. And they won't until God comes and establishes a new heaven and a new earth. He rids the world of sin and of Satan and of sickness and of separation by way of death. And by the way, the way I read my Bible, the way I look at things going on, I don't believe it's going to be long before the trumpet sounds. Somebody say amen. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Raise your hand if you're looking for Jesus to come. Oh, I'm looking not for the undertaker, but for the uppertaker. Amen. And one day he's going to break the clouds. He's going to call us to himself, and forever we'll be with the Lord. But we're not there yet. And now we're on planet Earth. The world that he's created that's been bent towards the wrong direction ever since Satan fell from heaven, landed on earth, introduced sin to mankind. Adam took that fruit. Sin passed on to mankind. Man was cursed, born sinner, separated from God, as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, so that all have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. All of our righteousnesses combined together are as filthy rags. There is none that doeth good. There is none that understandeth. Listen to me. I don't care what family you're born in. I don't care what kind of genes you have. I don't care how much intellect or what your IQ is. We are all born sinners. And ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't take long in this world to realize we are living in a world that is full of sin. Contrary to God. We try to live by this Bible. We try to teach the truth. We try to stand on the principles of the Word of God. And we're often in conflict. You will find the more you live for God, the more you serve God, the more you honor God, the more you trust God, the more you tote the principles of the Word of God, the more you pray, the more you fast, the more you come to church, the more you sing the songs of Zion, the more you live a pure life, the more you wait on God's perfect will for your life, the more you will find out that people will not agree with you, they will not understand you, the more you'll be criticized, you'll be ridiculed, you will be mocked. Oh, you'll get some friends, amen, because there are going to be some people along the way that'll hitch up with you like you're hitched up with Jesus. But the majority of people will stand against you. They don't understand it. And by the way, those that are standing against you are in the same crowd you were in before he loved you and saved you. Why? How can you listen to songs like that and not get excited that when you were lost without Christ and on your way to a devil's hell, he didn't wait for you to get right because you couldn't. He didn't wait for you to get fixed because you couldn't. He didn't wait for you to quit sinning because you couldn't. He didn't wait for you to get your life cleaned up because you could. Listen, if you messed up and you're miserable and you're depressed and you're discouraged and you're an addict and you drink too much and you smoke too much and you do the wrong things and you party and you say, soon as I get right, I'm going to get saved. You can't get right in order to get saved. You got to get saved in order to get right. And so here we are experiencing this clash. Daniel chapter 1, this clash introduced these fellas to a proposition that says, if you don't do it the world's way, you won't win. You got to eat the king's meat, drink the king's wine. They proved we don't have to do it the world's way. We can do it God's way and not only not be killed, not only just survive, but thrive. Listen to me, church. You stick with God. You'll not only make it, amen, you'll thrive. Daniel chapter 2, all of a sudden he's got a dream. He can't remember it. His people can't remember it. Hey, listen to me. The world not only can't do it, their people can't do it. The world will never come out with anything that can do what God does. Daniel did it. He interpreted the dream, and Nebuchadnezzar found out that nobody can interpret dreams like your God can. Then in Daniel chapter number 3, we saw these three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What is presented to them? There's a big statue set up. It's huge. Everybody should bow down. When the music plays, bow down and worship the golden image which Nebuchadnezzar set up. There's only one problem. There's only one God we worship. Listen to me. Worship is non-negotiable. We worship God and nobody else. And so when we get presented things as if they're options, when we're Christians that believe the Bible, disobeying God should never be an option. We shouldn't even consider it. The moment you start contemplating doing something that's contrary to the Word of God, you're closer to it already. Too many Christians have put things that the Bible forbids on the table and found themselves closer to them than they ever thought they should be. If you married, stop talking about getting divorced. Come on now. If you're single, stop talking about fornication. If you're dating, don't even bring it up. It shouldn't be on the table. Amen. If you're Christian, don't talk about lying. If you're Christian, don't talk about cussing. If you're Christian, don't talk about things that the Bible says you shouldn't do. Listen to me. The moment you start negotiating biblical principles that are not for sale, you'll be doing things that you used to condemn other people for doing. And so they said, we will not bow. We're not going to bow. Here come the threats. We're not going to bow. Don't let threats change your position. We're not going to bow. If you don't bow, you're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. Well, throw us in. Guess what? We're not going to bow. Our God is able to deliver us. And even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow. Thrown in the fire furnace. People throw them in, they get killed. The people get thrown in, get tied up. Now they're loose. People get thrown in, that the people throw them in burn up, but the people that get thrown in don't burn up. They're walking around. They don't have their hair burned. They don't have their coats burned. They don't have any of their clothes burned. And as a matter of fact, three of them went in, but four of them walking around. Guess who showed up? Won't he do it? Jesus showed up in the fire. The world thinks you can't survive the fire. What they don't realize is there's a companion that will walk with you who's good at taking you through the fire. Here they come out of the fire and they make it very clear God has delivered you. Daniel chapter 6, and here we are, and then I'll let you go. Here come the stakes getting higher. Do you think because you say no to the devil and yes to God, you get a victory, that means that's the last battle you're going to fight? It's surprising sometimes when we get these victories. God does such major work in our lives, and we think we're on the mountaintop, and all of a sudden, here comes the devil, and we thought, I thought I beat you. Listen to me. He's resilient. As a matter of fact, he's more resilient because he knows he's running out of time. He wants your family, he wants your marriage, he wants your testimony, he wants your mind. If you're saved, he can't have your soul, but have you acting like he does. I'm glad once I got saved, I'll never, ever go to hell. I said, I'll never go to hell. I'll not spend a second in hell. I'll not visit hell. Come on now. I'll not take a tour through hell to get a free night stay somewhere. Listen to me. I'm not going there. I'm not visiting there. I'm not threatened by it. I'm not scared of messages about it. I'm not going to hell. But I know a lot of Christians that seem to be living hellish lives. So just because you ain't going, just because you don't smoke doesn't mean you don't smell like it. And so we've got to take a stand. The stakes are going to be high. Daniel is now going to be put in a position where he has to make a choice. And his choice is going to be so visible, so clearly seen, just like chapter 1, just like chapter 3, just like chapter 2. Daniel's Christianity that clashes with culture is going to be on full display. Listen to me. Listen to me. You know what I'm finding out? There are a lot of Christians who will do right until the spotlight hits them. Until the world puts their lenses on them. And when the stakes get high and the pressure gets high and the threats get high, many who said they would serve God quickly quit. So for the next several weeks, here's the thought I want you to think about, and then you can slide on home. The clash between culture and Christianity, when it comes to being a Christian, in this crazy, wicked world. The laws are crazy. Come on. The lusts are crazy. The people are crazy. We're legalizing stuff that God says is wrong. We're redefining stuff that doesn't need a new definition. We're reinventing stuff that's just fine the way God designed it. Marriage is messed up and morality is messed up. And we've got all these things when it comes to political issues and abortion and homosexuality and depression and discouragement. And everybody's looking for joy in all the wrong places. And here you and I, we got a Bible. Raise it up. Come on now. Hold it up in the air. You got your Bible. Don't you thank God for your Bible? Amen. You ought to read it. You ought to study. You ought to memorize. You ought to meditate on it. You ought to apply it. Sin will keep you from the Bible, but the Bible will keep you from sin. From cover to cover, it's still the bestseller. They've tried to wipe it out. They've tried to shut it down. They've tried to deny it. They've tried to discredit it. They've tried to take it away. They've tried to say it's gone out of style. They've tried to say it's old-fashioned. They tried to say it doesn't work. They tried to say the white man wrote it. Let me tell you something. Ain't no man come up with something that works in every generation that transcends every time. You can't get two men to agree on anything, much less 40 men over 1600 period of time that produce a manuscript that's inspired, infallible, and inerrant. I'll tell you why I read the Bible, because you can't find a book that's perfect, preserved, preeminent, probing, penetrating, piercing, profitable, precious, and perfecting other than the Word of God. Here it is. We're not looking for the answers. We just got to have enough guts to live the answers God's already given. Now, here's the message today, and I'm finished. When you live out your Christianity in a crazy culture that disagrees with you, you got to be a Daniel. And here's how you're going to have to do it. Keep your windows open. Keep your windows open. Quit shutting your windows when you do right. Listen, here's what I'm telling you. I'm sick and tired of the world being brash and unashamed about their sin while we're pulling our windows down, embarrassed about our Christian. I'm saying if you pray, keep your windows open. If you read your Bible, keep your windows open. If you love the Lord, keep your windows open. If you raise your kids right, keep your windows open. If you stand on the truth, keep your windows. They'll talk about you, but keep your windows open. They're not ashamed of their sin. They put it on TikTok. They put it on... They need Tic Tacs with some of the dirty mouths, but they put it on TikTok and Snapchat. They post it. They brag about it. They video it. They sell it. They make merchandise out of it. Prostitution and drugs. They legalize marijuana. Nobody's ashamed of their nonsense. Let me tell you something. I'm going to preach the word and keep my windows open. I'm going to shout the gospel and keep my windows open. I'm going to worship and keep my windows open. If somebody can cuss and brag about his immoral weekend on Monday morning at the job, then you can go tell him, even though the snow came down, church was open, we got a word, we heard the songs of Zion, and you can brag on. I'm saying, in 2022, keep your windows open. Daniel had every reason to close them, because what he was doing became illegal. Amen. But just because it was illegal doesn't mean he was going to stop. And we're in a clash. But we need some bold Christians that'll be convinced in these last days, I'm doing the right thing. I'm serving the right God. I'm living the right life. I ain't perfect, but I got a perfect God. Amen. Hey, look, parents. You going to live for God? You going to do right? You might get on your kids' nerves, but keep your windows open. You might get on your blood relative nerves, but keep your windows open. Come on. I didn't say be a bad employee. I didn't say be an illegal citizen. I said keep your windows open. I said keep doing what you... In 2022, some Christian will have to come out the closet. Amen. Get rid of your alias. Forfeit your witness protection program. And let it known, like you let everybody know who you root for, what your favorite restaurant is, what your favorite food is. Let everybody know who your God is. And keep your windows open. Father, I love you. Thank you for loving me. Forgive us for sometimes doing the right thing, but making sure we close the windows. Pastor, I'm saved, and I know it. I know I'm saved.